Well, it's great to be with you all. I'm sure thankful for each one of you and blessed to be able to get together with you and share some of God's Word. Please go to Ephesians chapter 2 to begin this morning. Today's Sunday, March the 6th, 2022. We're going to Ephesians chapter 2. A couple of weeks ago, one of the things that I mentioned that we can do in our day and time, in the days we are living in, I mentioned four things, and first thing I mentioned was prayer. And prayer is a really huge topic in God's Word. Very big topic in God's Word. A number of years ago, I was blessed to be able to teach at a family camp out in California. The topic was prayer. And so we had morning teachings, evening teachings. Certainly didn't exhaust it, but it was wonderful getting into God's Word to look at this big topic. And I think I haven't counted them all or done it, but somebody said there are over 600 prayers in the Bible. And when you think about it, you go, oh yeah, I remember, okay, so, Abraham prayed. Oh, remember that? Well, that's back in Genesis. Abraham prayed, and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua, and then you just start thinking. Even think about the prayers that Job prayed. But there are just hundreds of prayers in the Bible. And so here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, familiar verse, for through him, Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This section, of course, is talking about how God, through Jesus Christ, the completed work of Jesus Christ, has reconciled both Jew and Gentile into one body. It's called the body of Christ, the church. In Ephesians 4, you probably remember, it says there is one body. There's one. All those that are born again. It also says there in Ephesians 4, there's one Spirit. One new birth Spirit. Each person that gets born again receives the same Spirit. There's one Spirit for all of us. We all get the same Spirit. And so here in verse 18, through him, we both have access. Through what Christ has accomplished, we both, Jew and Gentile, every born-again believer, has access to the Father. Not because we're so holy or we live our lives so perfectly. Our access is because of the one Spirit that we all have. And so we have access to the Father. Isn't that awesome? Back in my radio days, I went to a number of events, concerts and festivals and different things, and many times I was given an access pass, backstage pass, this pass. On one event, only one time this ever happened, I got an all-access pass. And I forget, it was a pretty big event, but having it might have even been a mistake, because there were places I didn't need to go, but there I was, you know, with a little lanyard thing, and it said all access, meaning I could go anywhere I wanted to go. And there were a lot of places I didn't need to go, but I did anyway. Because I could. You know, I walked over to this one place, and there's security there, and I'm all access, well, come on in. Nobody said, well, why do you have all access? Well, what are you doing here? It's just, I'm in, all access. And I took full advantage of it that one. And in fact, I think it's somewhere in my closet. I kept it because it reminds me of this verse in Ephesians 2. We have access to the Father, which is way better than any all access pass to any event. Even if it was the Super Bowl, it's still a better access. Ephesians 2:18 again, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We all have the one and the same Spirit, and because of that we all have the same access to the Father. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Another familiar verse regarding prayer, the last verse of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly literally means to speak freely, to speak openly, to hold nothing back. And if you keep your finger here, because we're going to come back, but look at 1 John chapter 3. This word boldly comes up again. In 1 John 3:20, it says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." Beloved, verse 21, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Confidence is that same word from Hebrews 4. If our heart is not condemning us, then we will have free speaking to God, hold nothing back, able to just speak freely to Him. It's interesting that the word condemn, which is in verse 20 and also verse 21, that word means to point the finger at, to accuse, to condemn, to point out what's wrong. It says in verse 20, if our heart, see, is a lot of times people condemn you, right? People point the finger at you. People put the blame on you. You're to blame for this. You're so... But it's not talking about people doing that. It's talking about us doing that to ourselves. If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. God knows who we really are. And then it goes on to say, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, if we are not pointing the finger at ourselves, if we are not, you know, this is blaming, sin consciousness, guilt, shame, condemnation. I screw up so bad. If our heart's not doing that, if we're not doing that to ourselves, we're going to have confidence. We're going to have that, Hebrews said, boldness. We're going to have free speaking to God. Because if our heart's condemning us, we're not going to want to talk to God because we're ashamed, we're guilty. I can't go to Him. I've screwed up so much. If you back up just a little bit in 1 John 1, we have forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? We have forgiveness. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. In chapter 2, it says not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So we have forgiveness. So back there in chapter 3 again, because of guilt, many Christians don't take advantage of the access they have to God, to go to Him and openly, freely speak to Him, to bear all that's on my heart. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that when we speak to God, it must always be something positive. Don't bring up any negs to God. Well, sometimes, many times there are negs. God, look at this mess I'm in. God, I need help with this junk, this situation, this whatever. I think it was Hezekiah when he got the letter from Sennacherib in the Old Testament. Said, you know, basically, we're going to wipe you out. See, he just brought the letter into the temple, laid it out. Look, God, what I got today. Look what came in the mail to me today. Look at this junk. So, in order to speak freely and openly to God, we won't do that if we are in sin consciousness, condemnation, pointing the finger at ourselves. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So back to Hebrews. I just wanted to show you that word and how it is so much a part of prayer life to have that freedom to speak freely to God. So back in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly, speaking freely, openly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have access to this throne of grace, and grace is where God gives his undeserved, grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. We're invited to come in boldly. And it says to obtain mercy. You know, grace is when we get something we don't deserve. Mercy is when we don't get something we do deserve. But as we saw in 1 John, God forgives us. And other places in the New Testament or in the church epistles where it talks about God has forgiven us all trespasses. We have redemption of sins and forgiveness of sins. So we have forgiveness. And we have access to this throne of grace. If we need mercy and forgiveness, we receive it. You know, we go to God and go, guess what? Bonehead here again. Duh. Screwed up. Sorry. God, I need your forgiveness. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then it says, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And, you know, some people say, well, God knows my heart. God knows what I need. Jesus even said that. God knows what you have need of even before you ask it. Well, yes, Jesus said that. Your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. But Jesus didn't say, so don't bother to ask. Where's that verse? See, if prayer is not necessary and needed, why then is it such a major topic in God's word from cover to cover? Why did God have hundreds of prayers written for us to read? Other people's prayers. You ever pray some morning and then record it, print it, and then post it online? Here's what I pray. We wouldn't. It's not nobody's business. And yet in the scriptures, God lets us read other people's prayers. Bless you. Hundreds of prayers in the Bible. If prayer's not important, then why does God put so much emphasis on it? Why did Jesus say we ought to always pray and not faint? Keep praying. Be persistent. Don't stop. Why do the Gospels show us that Jesus prayed? If anybody would be exempt from prayer, if anybody could have said, my Father knows my heart. And yet we see Jesus Christ praying on a number of occasions. Why do the church epistles encourage us in many places to pray? Prayer is a big deal. And so we started out in Ephesians where we have access. God has given us access, and we're invited, come boldly to this throne of grace. Well, how often should we then take advantage of the access we have? How often should we come to the throne of grace? You know, in 1 Peter, it says that God's ears are open to our prayers. Isn't that humbling? That God would be listening when I just start babbling? Yakking away. You know, when we pray, we speak freely and openly, and God listens. His ears are open to our... That's so humbling that the creator of the heavens and the earth would listen to our prayers. So he's willing to listen. How often then should we take advantage of that? He's listening. We don't need an appointment. We don't need to earn it. Have you been good enough to go to God? No, it's just open invitation. Look at Philippians 4. Familiar verse in light of prayer. Philippians 4. But good to look at these, though. Good to review them. It says in verse 6, Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing. The word careful is much better translated anxious, mentally distracted. We might even say stressed out. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There are times in our lives where situations can mentally distract us, cause us anxiety, worry, get overwhelmed, whether it's personal, our own personal lives, or external stuff going on, right? So what do we do? Pray. It's what God says, pray. We use the access we have. We walk right into the throne of grace. How often? Lots. I mean, we can utilize our access and walk into the throne of grace just to praise God. Just to say thanks. Right? And then, of course, especially whenever we're feeling anxious, overwhelmed, discouraged, fed up, just when we get phone calls when we're not expecting them, you know, things can happen. But look at the result of doing what God says. Verse 6 again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is the opposite of that anxious, you know, when we're going through, you know, the anxiety, the stress, overwhelmed. How peaceful are you when you're going through that? Not very. But this is what God says to do, to stop and pray. And that's the result. And of course, Jesus Christ said, you know, we ought to always pray and not faint. Fainting would be in that category of being anxious. God says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Head to the throne room. Just head on in. Me again. I know I was here 5 minutes ago, but I'm back. And his ears are always open to our prayers. How blessed we are. And also, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. As born-again ones, we have two distinct ways to pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, that's speaking in tongues, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. Well, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, speaking in tongues, and I will pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. We have two distinct ways to pray, with our understanding or by way of the Spirit, by speaking in tongues. If you look at Ephesians 6, this section about putting on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We pray and then we watch, listen, expecting an answer from our wonderful God. So, prayer is a huge topic. And in addition to coming to the throne of grace, utilizing the access we have to obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need for ourselves, we can also, and we ought to, pray for others, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I realize this is not like the first time you've ever heard about prayer. Oh, wow, we should pray. But perhaps in just looking at this and reviewing it this morning, it would inspire us to pray more. To pray more. To utilize the access more. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11, you also helping together by prayer for us. For the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You helping together by prayer for us. We can help others by praying for them. And you never know what great help your prayers are for someone. You know, we just pray. But I know one thing, God's word says it helps. And if God says praying for other people helps, then let's pray. It helps. So we have access to the Father, invited to walk in, speak freely in his throne of grace when we need mercy, when we need grace. We have all that, but it's still up to us to take advantage of it. It's up to us to choose to speak freely and openly to our Heavenly Father. Up to us whether or not we pray in the Spirit or not. God wants us to be anxious, mentally distracted, discouraged, all that stuff for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto him. So we pray, but we also wait for and expect an answer, right? Otherwise, what's the point of praying? Spending more time in prayer doesn't make you more holy. Yeah, I prayed for an hour today. How about you? It doesn't make you more holy. It doesn't make you more righteous. But you know what it does? It does allow you more time with the Father. More time speaking to him. More time communicating with God. More time with the one who imparts grace. If you raised children, when the kids are small, how many times a day do they come up? Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. I need this. Hey. All the time. Until they grow up. And then all of a sudden they have the whole world figured out. Don't need your advice for anything. Some of you can relate, right? But it's true, right? But I don't want to end up being like that with my Heavenly Father. Well, I know some of the Bible. I got born again. I know some verses. I got it from here. I still want to be like a little child that runs to my Father. Father, I need help with this. I need help with that. We're going to Psalm 77 to close this morning. As we spend more time in prayer, there's something that we ought to be mindful of when we go to God in prayer. And that is that we also know that God's word says God is at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So then as we pray, we can pray and then listen. Right? Just pause and listen. God says in his word that he would direct our steps and light our path. So we can go to God in prayer and then listen. Be expecting God to direct our steps, light our path, work within us to will and to do. The result of being uptight, mentally distracted, discouraged, overwhelmed, the result of that is you're miserable. And nobody wants to be miserable. Be anxious for nothing. Instead, we pray. And when we pray, we put our focus on God, our delivering God, our powerful God, our miracle-working God, a God of solution, a God who said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts not your thoughts. As far as the heaven is the high above the earth, that's how far my thoughts are than your thoughts. That's who we go to in that throne of grace. That's who we have access to. And here in Psalm 77, we see, it's not really a prayer, this is seeing somebody go from one to the other. At the beginning of this psalm, it's all about me and how terrible I feel and how lousy everything is. The first part of this psalm is sort of, woe is me. I cried unto God, Psalm 77, with my voice. Even unto God with my voice, he gave ear unto me. Well, at least he knew God was hearing. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. Look at this. My soul refused to be comforted. There's nothing you can say to me. I'm just bummed. Ever been around somebody, didn't matter what you said, they just refused to be comforted? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't care what you say. I just don't care. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. Man, this is a low point, isn't it? where it says, I was troubled back in verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. That word means moaned. Moaned. So here he is at a very low point. My soul refused to be comforted. His focus is on all the trouble. His focus on how it's affecting him. Woe is me. He's miserable. I've considered the days, we're in verse 5. I considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. Yeah, I remember when things were really good. Not now, though. I commune with mine own heart. Oh, that'll get you a lot. Especially if you're in this state of mind. Now you're going to commune with yourself. My spirit made diligent search. Now, communing with your own self, he ends up with these questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? I guess God's just not got any more grace. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? His word is just not going to work for me. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Maybe it's anger. Maybe hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Well, these first 9 verses again, just looking at himself, woe is me. The result, misery. And now he's going to shift where his focus goes. So we're in verse 9. We just read all that. So now verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. What I've been thinking, that's my weakness. That's my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. The right hand meaning the hand of blessing. This is what he's decided to start thinking about instead of how miserable he is. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old, thy wonders of old. I'm going to start thinking about how big and powerful and delivering God is. I'll meditate also of all thy work, and talk of thy doings. Well, what was he talking about before? I'm so miserable. I can't speak. Don't talk to me. I don't want to be comforted. God's gone. I don't. He's changed the tune, right? Changed the focus. And when we get in one of those slumps, that we have to do is change our focus. We have access, right? Mm-hmm. To the Father. We're invited to the throne room. Thy way, verse 13. O God is in the sanctuary. Who is such a great God as our God? I'm laughing because just a little bit before he was saying, has God forgotten to be gracious? His promises don't work. Look at the change. And the change takes place here in our minds. God can't make you change your mind. But we can. We can say, enough of that. I'm not going to think that way anymore. I'm not going to wallow in self-pity. Feel like there's no help for me. God is still God. He's still a powerful God, a delivering God. That's where we bring our thoughts to. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Verse 14. You are the God that does wonders. You've declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. So now he's going back in his mind to thinking about the deliverance from Egypt. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were trembled. The clouds poured out waters. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know, like a flock of sheep, only it was 2.5 million people that he took out of Egypt. You led them like a flock. Wow, what a change, right? Quite a change from focusing on how bad he felt to how good and loving and powerful God is. He went from woe is me to wow are you. And you know what it says, I went into the sanctuary. Verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Well, where's that? A temple? We have to go to a special place to pray? No, his ears are open to our prayers. So isn't there, there's no literal throne of grace. I want to go there. Where is it? Speak to him. You're in it. Access we have to him. He poured out, you know, we can pour out our heart to God. We go to that throne. So we have access. It's up to us whether or not we're going to use it. God's not going to force us. But as I mentioned before, that God has said that he is at work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when we pray, we can listen and watch and expect an answer. We ought to. And God said that he would direct our steps and light our paths. So as we go and pray, we can pray openly to God, and then we listen, we watch, and we expect. And we don't faint. We refuse to. But let's go to Ephesians where we started. Let's just read that again. Ephesians 2:18. And obviously there's a ton of verses we could look at, and I'm sure you've thought of some. Pray without ceasing. How about that? You know, there's a lot of verses. But I just thought this morning looking at this would be inspiring for us and encouraging us to pray more. Spend a little more time in the throne room. 2:18 Ephesians. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, we praise you, Father, for your greatness, for your power, for your wisdom, and are so thankful for your love for each one of us. We're thankful for the completed work of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and because of that, we have eternal life and all the great rights, privileges, and abilities that you have so clearly spelled out in your word. We're such a blessed people to be your children. Thank you for all that you've given to us, and in addition, Father, how you've given us access to you, how your ears are always open to our prayers, how we can just speak openly in your great throne of grace that we could obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, thank you that we are not helpless people, regardless of the times we live in, regardless of what goes on in our personal lives or around us, we're not helpless people, but we're your people, we're your children. And Father, that we can come to you, and that Father, we can look to you and watch and expect, and that you would give us answers and help in time of need. So thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.